Shkalim Daf Ches. We are beginning with the new parak on the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, the third parak of the Masechta. In the first two parakim, we already described how monies are collected. Members of the Jewish people are contributing a machatzis shekel, so that all these funds are going to be collected over the course of the month of Adar, so that by the first day of Nisan, you will have the monies ready and available in order to purchase all the karbanos of this upcoming year. All operating funds of the Beis HaMikdash for all the carbon sibor, all the public karbanos are going to be used, are going to be paid for by this public money that's collected. The Mishnah over here is going to be opening up with a description of the withdrawal from the Lishka. But all the money over here is not going to be used towards the carbon sibor. The assumption is that only a fraction of the money is necessary for the carbon sibor. As far as what's going to happen with all the surplus money that is accrued. So stay tuned. That's going to be discussed later in the Masechta. Our Mishnah over here is going to give us a detailed account of what the withdrawal looks like. Now, as we already pointed out, the truth of the matter is that you only need to do one withdrawal, meaning if you have a basic idea, a sense of how much the karbanos are going to be costing, so you do one withdrawal at the beginning of the year, maybe a second withdrawal sometime in the middle of the year, but meanwhile, our Mishnah is going to be describing three withdrawals. So already earlier in the Masechta, so we addressed this, and the Gemara earlier said that the truth of the matter is that you don't need three withdrawals, but it happens to be that the withdrawals coincide with Yontif, as we're going to be describing right now in our Mishnah. And basically what the Chachamim wanted to do is publicize the withdrawal. This is public money, this is public funds, and the Chachamim wanted to be as public about it as possible, and so therefore the withdrawals basically coincided with the times that the Jewish people were found themselves in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah begins, B'shloshah parakim b'shana tormim misalishka. So there are going to be three times during the year in which you're going to be taking money out of this chamber, B'pros HaPesach, 15 days prior to Pesach, B'pros HaTzeres, 15 days prior to Shavuos, and B'pros HaChag, and 15 days prior to Sukkos. V'heim grana shal Maaser Behema, and they also happen to be the same time that we're going to have checkpoints for Maaser Behema. I'll explain Maaser Behema a little bit better in just a moment. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, this is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So this idea of checkpoints for Maaser Behema, so let's just do a quick review on the topic of Maaser Behema. We know that animals that are born in our flock, so we need to give a tenth of those animals to the Beis HaMikdash, and every tenth animal is going to be described as a carbon of Maaser Behema. It basically has the status of a shlamim. There is an opinion that says it goes to the Kohanim, but the conventional position is that the owner of this animal gets to eat this carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. But anyway, every tenth animal has to be designated as Maaser Behema. You can find this mitzvah in the Torah at the end of Parshas Bichul Kosai, and in the Gemara it's discussed at the end, at the last parak of Masechta Bechoros. This idea of Maaser Behema also operates on a fiscal year. That means to say that animals from 1 year cannot be counted together with animals that are born from a different year. Each year has to be separated one from the other. When is the beginning of the fiscal year for Maaser Behema? Machlokas HaTanayim. You remember the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, where there you have Tanayim, who differ in terms of when exactly the fiscal year begins for Maaser Behema. We're going to be referencing that Machlokas in just a little bit over here in our Gemara. So stay tuned as we're going to get to review that Machlokas. What the Mishnah over here is describing is that there's something called grunos. Grunos are basically, I'm using the word checkpoints, but basically over the course of the year, there are going to be time slotted three times specifically over the course of the year where the Chachamim basically tell the farmers, and the shepherds, that it's at this point in time that the expectation is that you're supposed to be doing Maaser Behema. Now, again, just to make this as clear as possible, in terms of a fiscal year, there's only one fiscal year beginning, and that's going to be, well, again, it's a machlokas, but let's assume it's the first day of Tishrei. We'll see in just a moment. That's not clear cut. But let's just say that the fiscal year begins on the first day of Tishrei for the halacha Maaser Behema. So that means that any animals that are born after the first day of Tishrei is going to be subject to the upcoming year. Any animals born prior to that is going to belong to the previous year. And the grunos are not going to change any of that. And that's true. But basically what the grunos are doing, and the Gemara is going to make this point very clear, I'm just giving a little bit of a preview right now, is that the grunos are going to force the farmers and the shepherds to basically take off Maaser Behema at specific times during the year, and basically that'll make a lot of animals readily available to all the people that are going to be Ola Lerego. Good. So this is the idea of checkpoints for Maaser Behema over the course of the year, and the Mishnah tells us that at least according to Rabbi Akiva, whatever the dates were that we gave in terms of the Shuma Salishka, the withdrawal that's done from the treasury for the Machatzis HaShekel. So it happens to be that those are going to be the very same exact dates that are going to be checkpoints for Maisa Behema. So that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, 15 days prior to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are also going to be the checkpoint dates for the grunos for the mitzvah of Maisa Behema. That is the Shita Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah goes on to give us not another, but two more opinions in terms of what exactly are going to be the grunos for Maisa Behema. Ben Azai is of the opinion. Be'esem v'tisha ba'adar, he says it's going to be the 29th day of Adar. Uve echad b'sivan, the first day of Sivan, of Esrim v'tisha ba'av, and it's going to be the 29th day of Av. Okay, on a different occasion, and the truth of the matter is we already went through this back in Bechoros. We can go over in more detail exactly what's going to be the degree of separation between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva. Presumably they're arguing on all three dates, but okay, we're not going to focus on that right now. And then Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Amrim, and then the Mishnah gives us a third opinion, the opinions of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and that is that Be'echad B'Nisan, and Be'echad B'Sivan, and Be'esrim B'Tisha Be'Elul. So it's the first day of Nisan, the first day of Sivan, and the 29th day of Elul. They're all going to be serving as the grunos, as the checkpoint dates over the year for the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. V'lama amru be'esrim b'tishrei be'elul v'lo amru be'echad b'tishrei. Now, why describe over here the 29th day of Elul as opposed to the first day of Tishrei? So the Mishnah goes on to describe mimnei shehu yamtav, because the first day of Tishrei is what you and I call Rosh Hashanah. V'yef shal asa b'yamtav, and now you can't take off Maaser Behema on yamtav. Now, presumably the simplest reason why is because there's an issur d'rabbanan to be mafrid shumas shel maaser on yamtav. That's the simplest reason why. It happens to be that the Gemara in Bechoros, which deals with this very question, connects it more with the idea that the 10th animal that comes out, you're going to be painting a red mark on this animal, and that's Soveya. And okay, and it's interesting that the Gemara over there doesn't mention much regarding the Isser of being Mafish or Masamaisos. Anyway, V'yev shal asar b'yamtav. The point is, however, is that you can't take off Maaser Behema on yamtav. Leficha chikdimu be'esrim v'tisha be'elul, and that's why it got bumped up to the 29th day of Elul, the day before Rosh Hashanah. We are starting off with the Gemara Amar Rebbe Abahu. The Gemara starts off with the following: Kol Hain the Tanina Pros Palga. So when we say the word pros, what we really mean is half. Now, already when we read the Mishnah, I read it into the Mishnah, but Gemara over here is now going to clarify. Palga the Shoshim Yom Kodem Lamod Shadoshim Beil Chosav, and that means to say that we are halfway through the 30-day period. What's the significance of the 30-day period? So the 30-day period is when we're supposed to be preparing and anticipating and learning about the upcoming Yontiv, 30 days prior to Pesach, 30 days prior to Sukkot, and presumably also, although this is a point of controversy, and that's 30 days prior to Shavuos. The reason why Shavuos is a little bit controversial is because there are not that many halachas as it relates to Shavuos, as opposed to Sukkos, where you have the halachas of Sukkah and Dalaminim, and by Pesach you have the halachas of Chametz Matzah, and all the halachas associated with Karm Pesach. So there's a lot to discuss in these Yamim Tovim. But when it comes to Shavuos, they're beautiful menhagim, but there's not much in terms of halachas to discuss. So there is a bit of a discussion to be had in terms of whether or not the 30 days also significant for Shavuos. Notwithstanding, the point is that 30 days is significant. And when our Mishnah says pros, what it really means is half, and half of that significant marker, which is 30 days, which is 15 days. Again, we read that in the Mishnah, but the Gemara now is making that abundantly clear. Okay, from here until the upcoming Mishnah, the Gemara is going to be spending a lot of time now discussing the grunos, these checkpoints over the course of the year, three checkpoints over the course of the year in terms of where you must be, you must go through the procedure of Maaser Behema. And the Hain grunos. Amar Rav Yochanan Mibnei Shehain Pirkei Leida. So the Gemara is going to be giving a number of explanations as to why the Chachamim gave checkpoints for Maaser Behema. The first one belongs to Rav Yochanan, and that's because Pirkei Leida. It's a question of raising the newborns, and it happens to be that at these times of the year, so you have the newborns being born into the flock. Okay, so it just works out in terms of when's a good time to do Maaser Behema. Rabbi Achav, Rabbi Tanchum Barachia, B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Kedei, Shetiyah Behema, B'Tziyah La'Ole Regalim. The Gemara gives a second explanation. This is the one I already foreshadowed back in the Mishnah, and it's the second explanation of the Gemara given to us by Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, and it has to do with the fact that look, we have people going up to Yerushalayim, especially if you go with the Shita Rebbe Kiva, that each one of the Granos really is 15 days prior to the Yontif. So now, by forcing the Granos to be 15 days prior to the Yontif, that means the minig of all the farmers is that they will basically wait until this checkpoint. Then at the checkpoint, they're going to do the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. Now, of course, every 10th animal is a carbon, so that obviously is not going to be given to those who are doing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, but 90% of the animals are now perfectly available, timed perfectly, so that those people who are making Aliyah L'Regel now are going to help themselves. I mean, they're going to purchase, but at least now you have an availability of animals in the marketplace. Amar Rav Yudan, the Gemara gives now a third explanation, and Shelo Yavo Lidei Baal Te'achar. Also, another reason why these dates are specifically chosen is so that one does not violate the Isra of Baal Te'achar. Once you have a pledge to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, once you makdish an animal, so you have three yontifs in order to bring this carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't bring it within three yontifs, so you're in violation of Baal Te'achar. That is the short version of Baal Te'achar. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a much longer and more complicated discussion regarding Baal Te'achar, but right now, we are good with the short version of the discussion. So, by putting these checkpoints in right before yontif, so it's perfect. In other words, now you're going to go through Maaser Behema, and you're going to be selecting every 10th animal, which is a carbon. It happens to be that now you are 2 weeks away from Yontif, regardless of which checkpoint you're using. You're always going to be 2 weeks away from Yontif, and that's perfect. Now you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to offer up your Maaser Behema. Those are the three explanations given by the Gemara in terms of why these Maaser Granos are dated at the time in which they are done. Amar Rebbe Yusa. As we are now on the very bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, Kol HaMashe Tivlo. If you keep your animal untithed, you don't go through the process of Maaser Behema, so over Beval Te'achar, so you're in violation of Baal Te'achar. It is hard to imagine that the Gemara over here means that you're violating Baal Te'achar on a Doraisa level. Probably not violating it on a Doraisa level. Probably, the Gemara really does not elaborate, but probably what it means over here is that on some Din de Rabbanan, if you don't do Maaser Behema by these checkpoints, so you are in some violation. Again, the Gemara uses the words Baal Te'achar, but probably more loosely than literally, because as we just pointed out, Baal Te'achar is where you go three Yamim Tovim without having brought your carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Taman Tanina. Now we are on the very top of Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara now is going to be quoting a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Bechoras also. We discussed this in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah as well, and that is, when does the fiscal year for the mitzvah of Maaser Behema begin? When does it end? So as I already pointed out back in the Mishnah, it's the Machlokas. Here we get to see the Machlokas. And for the first half of today's daf, I know we're well into today's daf, but for the first half of today's daf, we get to explore this Machlokas. So we start off with the following. Rabbi Meir Omer, Be'echa Be'elo Rosh Hashanah LaMaaser Behema. So as far as the first day of Elo is concerned, so that's it. That's the beginning of the fiscal year for the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. And that means to say that, according to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, any animal that's born in the month of Elul now is going to be for the new year. Any animal born at the end of Av, and obviously any time before that, it belongs to the previous year. And you cannot separate, and you cannot do the mitzvah of Maaser Behema with these animals that were a handful of them are born in Av, and a handful of them are born in Elul, and the twain do not meet. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omrim Be'echa B'Tishrei. According to the sheet of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, so actually the fiscal year begins on the first day of Tishrei. It happens to coincide with Rosh Hashanah. And Benazai Omer Halulim Mis Asrim B'Fnei Asamim. And according to Benazai, so because of a state of doubt, he doesn't know which position is the accepted position. Is it Rebbe Meir or is it the Shittas of Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Elazar? So therefore, Benazai says that any animals that are born in the month of Elul are going to be kept independent of the upcoming year, independent of the previous year, because we simply do not know halachically if Elul belongs to the past year or the upcoming year, based on the machlokas that we just went through between Rebbe Meir versus Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. So Amar Rav Huna, the Gemara now is going to give us a little bit better explanation for all three shitas of our Mishnah, both Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe Shimon, and the shita of Benazai. So we start off with a better explanation of the shita of Rebbe Meir. I say better, it's going to end up being a drasha anyway, but at least some more understanding. So time of the Rebbe Meir, so what's the basis behind the shita of Rebbe Meir? Why, according to Rebbe Meir, is the fiscal year for Maaser Behema begin on the beginning of Elul, the first day of Elul? So ad kan hein mitamtsos eliminationos mikan ve'elach hein matchila leleiz min hachadasha. So the Gemara says it really depends on the gestation period and when conception began. meaning according to the Tiklan Echaratim's explanation of the Gemara over here. So really what Rabbi Chuna, right, that seems to be the gear that we have in our Gemara, according to Rav Chuna's explanation, Rav Meir, so really what we're going to start is the following, that when we're talking about the fiscal year of animals vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, it doesn't really start at birth. Birth is not really the significant marker. The real marker of where we are going to demarcate which year belongs to is going to be based on conception. Now, by small animals, so the gestation period of small animals is 5 months. And so what he's arguing is as follows, that we really have to look at when the animals were impregnated and when conception began. So for the animals that were born before Elul, so that means to say that the conception took place before Nisan, meaning it took place in the month of Adar, right, 5 months prior. And any animals that were born in the month of Elul were conceived from Nisan and onward. So basically, the way Rav Chun is explaining Rav Meir is that really the point of demarcation is whether they were conceived before or after the first day of Nisan. And it just happens to be that because we're assuming a 5 month gestation period, and yes, we're assuming every one of the animals is going to have a perfect 5 month gestation period. So all animals that were born before Elul are shach for the previous year. Now, any animal that's born from Elul and onward is shach to the upcoming year. That is Rav Chuna's explanation of Rav Meir. It happens to be that it's a little bit tricky. He doesn't really give a source for it. In other words, but that just simply, apparently he had a Masorah that this is what's predicated, this is what's behind the sheet of Rav Meir. Rav Yusa bar Rabbi Bon B'Shem, Rav Chuna Taimed Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara is going to move to the second sheet of the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, who says that the fiscal year for Meiser Behema begins on the first day of Tishrei. So that they're going to base on a Pasuk. Now this is a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and clearly this is not the simple, I'm sorry, it's based on a Pasuk in Tehillim. Sorry, correction. And it's certainly not the simple pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim, but nevertheless, it is a drasha. The Pasuk says, Lafshu Karim Matzon, so that the sheep are literally wearing something, but over here, it's a reference to being pregnant. And Elu Abichiris, and the Gemara says that this is a reference to the ones who conceived early, meaning in the month of Adar, and Vahamakim Yatfu Bar, and then going on to that Pasuk in Tehillim, so it says that they also put some sort of tifa on. They wrap themselves up, and elu ha afelus. These are the animals that have birth at a later point in time. Yisroo af yashiru elu veelu nichnasim ledir lisasher. And the pasuk in Tehillim says that yisroo au. Now the Gemara is darshaning from like the word rea, which means that they're going to be companions with one another. Meaning the animals that conceived early and later. Meaning we just learned that according to Rav Meir, earlier animals, so they conceive in the month of Adar. Later animals conceive in the month of Nisan. So what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, based on the Pasuk and Tehillim, is saying is that you're going to take these animals who conceived early and later, and they're going to be put together. Meaning it's all considered 1 year. So that means that the animals that are born in the month of Av, the animals that are born in the month of Elul, are all considered part and parcel of the same year. And the Pasuk ends off by saying, Yisrael af yashiru, and the Gemara is playing on the word yashiru, where yashiru could also be connected to the word to be misaser. Obviously missing an ayin, but that it's a drasha. So the idea is over here is that you take these animals that are born in, these newborns that are born in Av and in the month of Elul, and they're going to be counted together. Which means then that when's the fiscal year begin? Then next month, meaning Tishrei. Okay, so that is, quote-unquote, a helpful understanding of the Shita Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar. Again, helpful, it's a drasha, so it doesn't really give us any more svara, but at least it's a drasha. Amar ben Azai, and now we turn to the position of ben Azai. Hol ve'elu amrim kach, ve'elu amrim kach. So you have elul misrasim b'fnei atzmam haketzan. So the Gemara now just simply revisits the Shita ben Azai, and the Gemara just now is going to put it into practice. What does it look like according to ben Azai? So the Gemara says, I'll give you a couple of examples. So no dulo bechamisha ba'av bechamisha be'elo bechamisha betishrei. So let's say the farmer has five animals born in the month of Av, five animals born in the month of Elul, and five animals born in the month of Tishrei. So aim is starfin. So now subscribing to the Shita ben Azai, so we have no tzir whatsoever. Nothing's going to combine with one another because Elul now remains an independent month, independent both of the month prior Av and the month afterwards Tishrei. So now that five that were born in Elul will not combine with the five born in Av, nor will it combine with the five that are born in Tishrei. So that is not going to combine. And now the Gemara is going to give a second example according to Ben Azai. Nodulo chamisha b'tishrei v'chamisha b'av. Now let's say you have five animals born Tishrei, and 10 months later, five animals born in Av. So Hare Elul Mitzarfin, that'll combine. Now the point of this Gemara is actually really, really straightforward, and that is, that it's just a contrast, meaning that we have 15 animals born within the 3 month period, but according to Ben Azai, again, just based on the Shita, so they don't combine. You have 10 animals born in a 10 month period, and they are going to combine. So just, but again, it's not a tremendous chiddush once you start off with the basic idea of Ben Azai, that Elul is an independent month. So quite frankly, it makes perfect sense. So Uben Azai Machri al Divrei Talmid Avasa. Now the Gemara over here is bothered because what really Ben Azai is doing is not taking a stand, and he's not taking a side. Now we're talking about the Tanaim of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara basically is bothered by the fact that Ben Azai really has more credential, he has more seniority than these Tanaim. And the Gemara is a little bit bothered that Ben Azai really should just take a stand, meaning he should consider the opinions and he should paskin. The idea that he doesn't want to get involved in this machlokas, the Gemara is having a difficult time understanding why wouldn't he get involved if in fact Ben Azai himself has more seniority. So the Gemara gives an answer. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Meisha, B'Shem, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, Shekein Nechluku Aleh Avos HaOlam. So the Gemara says, well, yes, the machlokas is brought to us by Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, but the truth of the matter is that it's an antiquated machlokas, and the earlier Tanaim are already arguing about this very issue. Maninu Avos HaOlam. Now, when we say Avos HaOlam, like our forefathers, so obviously we're not going back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we're just simply going back to earlier Tanaim. Who are the earlier Tanaim? So Tana Rabbi Yuna, Kamei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. So it's the Tanaim of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and they're older than Rabbi Meir. Now, not significantly older than Rabbi Meir. Remember, Rabbi Kiva was a Rebbe to Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir had a couple of teachers. So one of them was Rabbi Kiva, but still the point is that Rabbi Kiva was a Rebbe to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir was not prepared to arrive at any kind of conclusion against his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara now notes that the relationship between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva is a little bit complicated. The Gemara says basically Chaver Talmid. They both operate on a collegiate level and also on a Rebbe Talmud level. So in Tema Rabbe, because if you're just simply saying that Rebbe Kiva was a Rebbe to Ben Azai, and that was the only nature of the relationship, so then listening to Ben Azai is going to be very difficult. The Gemara asked exactly that question. It's Barnash, Amar Rabbi, Ho ve'elu amrakach, ve'elu amrakach, because you're not going to hear a student say, you know, these say this and these say that. And if he's talking about his Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva, he's not going to say the word elu. He's going to talk much more reverentially. So it's clear that Ben Azai, despite the fact that he was a student to Rebbe Akiva, at the same time also, he was a chaver as well. He got to the point of being on the same level as Rebbe Akiva. Rabbi Ambon b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak shamalam en adam. Another proof that this is in fact so. This is based on a Mishnah Baba Basra. We're not going to go through the discussion over there, Gemara Baba Basra. We're just gonna pick out the key line. Amalo Ben Azai, where Ben Azai says, "Ala chalukim anu mitzarim, ella shebat lachlok alenu es hashivuyim." There's enough machlokas going on. Again, not to go through exactly what's being discussed over there in the Gemara Baba Basra, but the Rabbi Kiva was involved in a discussion, and Ben Azai says, let's agree to what we all agree to, and let's not create more machlokas. So Zosimeres, again, just looking at the language that's used over there in that Mishnah Baba Basra, Zosimeres Ben Azai Chaver v'tamid havala Rabbi Kiva. Again, the nature of the relationship between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva is tamid chaver, right? Both a student and then ultimately becomes a colleague. Because intom a rabbi, because if you're saying that Rabbi Kiva was a rabbi to Ben Azai, so is Barnash Amar LeRabbi Ela Shabbat Lachlok Aleinu Hashavim. Again, the tone and the way he says it, that and you're coming to argue on things that we agree to. Meaning, let's agree to what we agree to. But again, the tone and the way he says it. So you have to say that eventually, what ends up happening is that Ben Azai becomes a colleague to Rabbi Kiva, and that's why he was able to talk the way he did. Mind you, by the way, at the very same time, the Gemara just also concluded that Ben Azai would not want to paskin against Rabbi Akiva, meaning that Rabbi Akiva took a position regarding what's the first fiscal date of Meister Behema. And Ben Azai says, look, it's a machlokas, and I just don't want to get involved and at least risk the possibility of going against Rabbi Akiva. So he spoke to him like a colleague, but he also, at the very same time, had the kind of reverence to him as a Rebbe, because that was the beginning of the relationship. He was a Rebbe to Ben Azai. Taman Tanina. We're going to continue now. We're going to learn a Mishnah in Becharas. Kol anodim be'echad b'tishrei ad esrim v'tisha be'elul. So the Mishnah over there says that any animal that's born from Tishrei until the 29th day of Elul, last day of the year, Zahari Elim and Star, so they're all going to combine with one another. Chamish lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'chamish la'achar Rosh Hashanah, five before Rosh Hashanah, five after Rosh Hashanah, Elim and Star, and they're not going to combine. Chamish lefnei Agorin v'chamish la'achar Agorin, Zahari Elim and Star, five animals before the checkpoint, five animals after the checkpoint, so they are going to combine. Again, checkpoints are just simply times that the Chachamim encourage, recommended, authorize the farmers to separate at that point in time, but they don't really mark the beginning or the end of the fiscal year. The beginning or the end of the fiscal year occurs according to this Mishnah that we just learned together. Obviously, this Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, the first day of Tishrei. Good? That's the Mishnah. So, I'm a Rabbi Yusa. So, based on this Mishnah, the Gemara now is going to have the following discussion. For Yerushalmi, from a Yerushalmi standpoint, it's going to be a long discussion. There is no discussion in the Yerushalmi that's long, but this will be long for Yerushalmi standards. And that is Amar Rav Yusa, Hadad Amar Maisa Behema Lo Asu Asa Lo Kechenev Lo Keshlish. Now, when they made Maisa Behema in terms of looking at the significant moment of Maisa Behema, they didn't follow the model of Chenet, and they didn't follow the model of Shlish. Let's explain this a little bit better. Okay, now, when we're talking about various fruit that grow on the tree. So in terms of establishing those fruit, what year they belong to, do they belong to the first, second, third year of the Shemitah cycle, or fourth, fifth, or sixth, or even seventh for that matter. So we have to look at a marker of the development of the fruit that's coming off the tree. And one of the significant markers is what's called Chanata. Chanata is the very beginning of the emergence of the fruit. After the flowers fall from the fruit tree, and then in the place where the flowers were, so you have the emergence of the fruit, so that is what's called chanata. So let's call that emergence. And then we also have a marker called shlish. When it comes to the grains and when it comes to olives, so shlish is a third of the development, meaning if we could forecast to what a fully developed grain is going to look like, or a fully developed olive is going to look like. So when growing and it has achieved a third of its growth, so then it's going to be significant vis-a-vis the halachas of what year it's assigned to. So, and these are two basic models in terms of establishing assignment of a year, either emergence or going to be shlish. Now, when it comes to shlish, what are we really saying by shlish? So we're talking about the time where it's first edible. Because we know that once a grape, or once a grain has arrived at a third of its development, it's at that point in time now it's edible. So when we're saying shlish, what we're really saying is at a point where it is edible. So which marker are we going about? So im tomer bechenet. So the Gemara says, if you're saying that Maaser Behema follows a chenet model, which is emergence, so let's nikol amu bar mecha b'tishrei ad esrim v'tisha be'elul. So then, if we're going to try to compare chanata of a tree to an animal, so basically the Gemara says a fair comparison would be conception. Conception is considered emergence. Okay, it's an interesting comparison, and certainly it's a little bit difficult to explain, right? Emergence is where you actually start to see it, and by conception you don't see it. But okay, the Gemara assumes that's how we would have translated chanata by an animal, and that would have been a conception. And the Mishnah obviously doesn't say that. The Mishnah is obviously talking about birth. So clearly over here we're not following the chanata model. So then, what's our other option? The other option is shlish. So im tomer shlish. So if you're going to say that we're talking about shlish, listen, kol anodim ad esrim v'shnayim be'elul. So the Gemara over here says, yeah, but what is shlish? Shlish is really just a way of saying it's edible. So when the olive is a third ripened, so it's edible. When an animal is born on the day of its birth, is it edible halachically? And the answer is by carbon. No, by carbon. So an animal can only be offered as a carbon only from the day, eighth day and onward. So that means to say that really, if we were following the Shlish model, so what the Mishnah should have said is that any animal born before the 22nd day of Elul, because then and only then is it going to be first edible by the first day of Tishrei. So by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say it, so the Mishnah does not seem to be going with the Shlish model as well. So when looking for what's significant by Maaser Behema, so we basically rejected the Chanata model, the emergence model, and we are also seem to be rejecting the Shlish model as well. So the Gemara says, no, we could defend. And Rabbi Shammai b'shem Rev Bon k'Rabbi Chia k'Shlish Asur Asar. No, we're going to say that we're really following the Shlish model. And that is k'Rabbi Shimon, and we're also going to be subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, Damer Rabbi Shimon, Mechus Razman, Nichnas Ledir, Lehisasir. Rabbi Shimon's position is that when you have an animal, even though it is less than 8 days old, so you can put it in the pen and you can count it towards the your Maaser Behema. Count it as one of the 10 animals. If it comes out to be number 10, isn't it premature? So according to Rabbi Shimon, that's fine. Rabbi Shimon has no problem with the animal itself being counted as a Maaser Behema animal. So if we're subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, now Rabbi Shimon is a Das Yachid on this particular issue. And the majority position, which is the Chachamim, are of the opinion that you cannot use an animal counted towards Maaser Behema until it is actually 8 days. So, assuming that we do subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, so then we could go back and say that we're really working with a Shlish model. Now, Kam Rabbi Mana im Rabbi Shammai. So Rabbi Mana gets up. And he goes right after this Rabbi Shammai. By the way, this in the Bavli, I don't remember any other Tana or Amora by the name of Shammai. So here in the Yerushalmi, clearly this is an Amora, and we have an Amora here in the Yerushalmi named Shammai. Anyway, so Kam Rabbi Mana im Rabbi Shammai Amarlei Atamart Hadam Ilsa. So Tamantanina, he says, well, let me ask you something based on what you just suggested. And that is Benazai Omer Halulim Misashim Le'atman. Let's go over the Shita Benazai. Elul is an independent month, as we already went over a couple of times. Lo afilu nolad ad esrim v'tisha ba'elul. Now, presumably, the Shita Benazai is describing even if the animal is born any time during the month of Elul. It still remains an independent month. And the Gemara says, now, Islach Memer Benazai k'Rabbi Shimon v'lo k'Rabbanan. Now, it's really difficult to suggest that this Shita Benazai, who is taking this kind of like middle approach between the Shitas of Rabbi Meir on one side and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar side, and he says that any animal born during any one of the days of Elul, and you're telling me that this Benazai position is only going to work if he subscribes to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says it's really unlikely that that's in fact the case. And so the Gemara says it's just hard to imagine that everyone is subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So Kamad At Amart Al Darabanan. So the Gemara says, okay. So now let's suggest that we're going to go back to the Shita of the Chachamim, and that is what you're going to do is as follows: Menicham L'Shana Ba Ben Misasim Im Bnei Shnasan, and then Kenat Amar LeBenazai. So Manichan L'Goran Haba Vehin Misasim Im Bnei Elulim. The Gemara over here says, look, we could suggest as follows, is that an animal, we're going to go all the way back to the Shlish model. We're going to assume that an animal, in order to be brought into the pen, so it needs to be edible. And we're going to assume, not like Rabbi Shimon, we're going to assume like the Chachamim, that any animal from birth until its eighth day cannot go into the pen, it cannot be counted. So the Gemara says, aye, but we said that any animal that is born after Tishrei, it belongs to the upcoming year. And according to Benazai, any animal born in Elul, any day of Elul is going to be subject to its own independent Maaser Behema. So how does it work? So the Gemara says it's very simple, actually, how it works. And what you're going to do is you just simply wait, meaning that an animal, let's say born, let's go according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, an animal born on the last day of Elul, on the 29th day of Elul. So granted, right now it's not edible. And if it were marked off as a 10th animal, you couldn't bring it as a carbon. It's premature. So what you'll do is just simple. You'll just simply wait. You'll wait 8 days until it's ready to be counted as part of 10. you can't count it with any animal born in Tishrei. So basically what you'll do is you'll hold over 9 other animals from the previous year, so that this animal, now that's ready to be eaten, you'll just simply count it with 9 other animals. The Gemara says that's what you'll do. And for Ben Azai, it's the same thing. It just happens to be that for Ben Azai, it's going to be true for any animal born in the month of Elul. You'll just, if it's born at the end of Elul, you just simply wait until it can be counted, i.e. you wait until its 8th day, and then you count it together with other animals that are born in the month of Elul. And obviously you just simply hold those animals over until the animal that was born at the end of Elul is able to be counted. So the Gemara is going to make a couple of conclusions based on this entire discussion that we just had. Animals, since they are going to be subject to Maaser Behemah based on the year that they're born, so when it comes to a Bechor, and even though the Bechor, every Bechor is going to go through its first 7 days of being ineligible, but that still counts towards its year. So we know that we have a lacha, that a Bechor, has to be eaten within its first year. And when we say year, we mean from the year of birth, even though the first week is going to be ineligible. Amar Rebbe Yuna, Abba, Shmat La Minada. We're going to basically come up with the same conclusion based on the following drasha. Kol ha-bechor asher yivaled hazachar takdish. Any animal that's born, so takdish, you're going to sanctify it. Now, Hakate said, no, the Gemara's question over here, the Gemara Bechoris asks a similar question. What does it mean you're going to sanctify it? It's a Bechor, it has Kedusha, Me'elav, it's automatically Kadosh. So over here, Mishas Le'dasa, At Monul Hashana. It means, the Gemara's answer over here, not exactly the same as the Bavli answer, but the Gemara's answer over here is that it's going to have Kedusha on the day that it's born, meaning despite the fact that it's ineligible until day number 8, but in terms of counting its year, you're counting its year from the day of birth, not from the day that's first eligible, meaning a week later. Okay, Adkan takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf, and we continue. We are now on the bottom of Chesem and Aleph, and now details regarding the actual withdrawal. What is the withdrawal going to look like? Bishalosh kupos shalosh sayin. So what we're going to do is we're going to take 3 boxes. Each one of the boxes is going to be made up of 3 saw. So terminus alishka, and with these boxes we're going to do a withdrawal. The kusuf aleim aleph beis v'gimel. On each one of the boxes it's going to be labeled. Literally, Aleph Beis Gimel, so that we know the order. And Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yevonis Kasuf Aleihem, Alpha Beis Gamma. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're writing the 3 letters, and you are noting which one was withdrawn first, second, and third, but instead of using Hebrew letters, you're going to use Greek letters. And there is a significant discussion that we had in the Gemara Megillah regarding the Greek language use for the writing of a Sefer Torah and the writing of a Megillah. And over here, it's obviously not a Davar Shebekdusha. We're just writing on boxes over here. But the idea that the Greek language went into even in operations of the Beis HaMikdash, so at least according to the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, that was in fact the case. Mishnah continues, in a term, Nichnas lo bepargad chafos. The Mishnah describes how one is not allowed to walk into the treasury in order to make a withdrawal. Making a withdrawal from the treasury is going to arouse some suspicion regarding skimming off the top. The Mishnah says it's really important that the person who is responsible for making this withdrawal is above any kind of reproach whatsoever. So, number one, the Mishnah says he's not allowed to go in with any kind of hem, of any stitching, any cuffing. Any cuffs that are in his garment, if he has an area where he can hide the shekels, so that in of itself already is wrong. Meaning, obviously, we're not describing the person who's actually walking out with an extra shekel. That's called stealing. It's actually called me'ilah. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But even just the perception of doing that already says the Mishnah is wrong. V'lo b'minah, v'lo b'sandal, you can't go in with a shoe or a sandal. V'lo b'tfilin, v'lo b'kameya, you can't go in with tefillin. You can't go in with a kameya. An amulet. And again, the idea over here is that if you go in with anything like this in a situation, in a position where you can hide the shekels, so again, you're giving the perception that you're going to take, and just the perception in of itself already is wrong. Shema ye ani v'yamar me'avon lishka ani. The Mishnah over here describes a number of possibilities. One possibility is that the person is going to become poor, and people is going to say, "Oh, I know why he's poor. He's poor because he took from the lishka," and as a punishment for taking from the lishka. So that's why he's so poor. Or alternatively, Oshema Ye Ashir. Or maybe the person's going to get wealthy. Yomer Mitruma Lishka Hashir, and people are going to say, "Oh, he got wealthy because he took money from the Lishka." She Adam Sarach Latzeis Yidei Abrizka Derech She Sarach Latzeis Yidei Shemayim. A person has to make sure that he is above reproach from people, just like a person has to make sure that he's above reproach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar, the pasuk says, V'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael. V'omer, the Gemara gives a second pasuk as well. So the Gemara gives a couple of psukim in terms of how important, how significant it is. One from Bamidbar, second one from Mishle. In terms of how important, how significant it is that a person has to make sure that he is above reproach, not only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but from people as well. And even if a person is not doing wrong, but he's perceived as doing wrong, and others perceive him as doing wrong, so that the Gemara says you have to stay away from. It's what you and I describe as Maris Ayin. Basically, the Mishnah is telling us is that you have to be above any kind of criticism if you are behaving in a manner that looks questionable, even though it actually is not questionable. Okay, well, we'll come back to discuss it a little bit later on. Tamantaninan. In the meantime, however, the Gemara over here is going to use an opportunity to use our Mishnah to help us understand another Mishnah in Shas. The Mishnah says that you can clear away on Shabbos four or five boxes, straw or grain that are out in the field and right now occupying the field, then you need it. Or not necessarily a field. It could be like a silo. Anyway, I got to make room. The Gemara over there in Shabbos describes how you need it either for Beis Medrash, or Chnasas Orchim. So you need the area for mitzvah purposes. Now, moving four or five boxes is a lot of tircha, and under normal circumstances, it falls under the category of tircha yisera. But considering that you need the space right now, so you're allowed to do so on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah only says four or five boxes, and the Gemara's question over here is very simple. Oh, how big is a box? So Rabbi Zira Shaals, Rabbi Yoshia, Kamahu Shir Shokupos. That's exactly the Gemara's question. So Amar Lay now, as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, so the Gemara now answers the question of how big are we talking about. So Nilma Sassaman and Mefor. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll use our Mishnah here in Shkalim to help us with the Mishnah over there in Shabbos. The time we learned in Abraisa, B'Shal Shkupos, Shal Shal Sin. Three boxes were three sa'a each, Shehin Tisha sign, which makes for a total of nine sa'a. Shein Esrim V'Sheva sign, which makes for a total of 27 sa'a over the course of the year, meaning nine times three times a year, so that's 27. So Torman Salishka. Because of Aleim, and then we're just quoting from the end of the Brisa, but we got the basic idea that the size of the box is going to be three sa'a each. So we know the answer now. But anyway, but just quoting the end of the Brisa, Torman Salishkan, the Kasav Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel, Mimne Ma Kasav Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel, and why? Lomer Mistapik Menavishan Kodon Lishnia, Menashnia Kodon Lishlish, because we want the right order, we want the right Seder. So the box that you withdrew first, that's the one you're going to collect from first, and the second, third. Okay, Taman Tanina. So now that we used our Mishnah to help us with the Mishnah in Shabbos, the Gemara says, well, let's do that again. So there's another Mishnah in Shabbos, Amosi Ayin Kedem Zikasak. So the Mishnah over there describes that if one were to carry on Shabbos from a Rosh Hashanah to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, alternatively, carrying four amos in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you carry mezigas akos, enough for the dilution of a cup of wine, so you're going to be chayev. The Mishnayos over there in Shabbos spend a considerable amount of time going over exactly how much a person is to carry in order to be chayev on the malacha of hotza'ah. And so the Mishnah over there says, Kidei Mezigas Kos. Now that is not very specific in terms of an amount, and the Gemara over here is going to spend a little bit of time trying to use our Mishnah to help us over there. So Rabbi Zira, well, not our Mishnah, actually. It's going to be a Brisa. But anyway, Rabbi Zira Shalas, Rabbi Yoshia. So the question was, Kama Shirin Shal Kos? So how much is a Shir? So Amalei, no Matzah Samen Amafur. So the Gemara says, okay. So Didni Rabbi Chia. So we're going to use a Brisa. And that is Arba Kosha Sharma, the four cups. Obviously, we're talking about the four cups of wine for the Seder night. So Yeshnam Revias Shal Yani Itaki. So it contains a total of a Revias of Italian wine. Now, that means to say that you take that revius of Italian wine, you're going to divide it into four parts, because obviously there are four cups. And now what you're going to do is that you have a quarter of that revius in each one of the cups, and you're going to dilute it. A dilution of three parts water to one part wine, which means that in each one of the cups now you're going to have a revius based on the dilution. But in other words, the amount of undiluted wine that you have in total is going to be a total of a revius. Now, the Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven Mishum Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yehudahi. That Mishnah over there, That's the sheet of Rav Yehuda Dini, and the Gemara now is just going to establish that that Mishnah that we learned together is the sheet of Rav Yehuda because of the following. We have the Braisa. So, Maim, how much water do you carry on Shabbos in order to be Chayv? Kedei Gimi, according to the Tanakama, the amount for one swallow. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kedei Lashuf, Mahemes Akilo, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, enough to put in an eye salve. In other words, their eye salve was basically some sort of powder. You put in a little bit of water, and then you put in your eye. And you do the application. We're skipping the parentheses. Yain, how much wine do you have to carry on Shabbos in order to be Chayv? Kedei Gimi, according to the Tanakama, it is one swallow full of wine. And Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kedei Mezikas Kos, and according to Rav Yehuda's Mezikas Kos. So we just simply established that the Mishnah over there, Shabbos, is going according to the Shita of Yehuda. Mazik Bekama, now how much dilution are we talking about? Nishma Menadah, so the Gemara says, okay, so let's learn it together now in terms of how much dilution. I already gave away the answer, but the Gemara now is going to go through the procedure, the process. So Maim Kedei Gemiya, so when it comes to water, so again, how much water you have to carry, it's going to be Kedei Gemiya, one swallow full, and Rav Yehuda Amar Kedei Lashuv Behemes Akula, again, the eye salve. And then, skipping the parentheses, Yain Kedei Gemiya, wine, it's going to be a swallow full according to the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Mezikas Kos. Good. Hada Amart Mazuk Kedei Mezikas Kos. So this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda says that when you carry out, and we're describing diluted wine on Shabbos, so when you are going to be chayev if you are carrying enough for putting together one cup, meaning a revius. So fine. So Kamashir Shel Kosos. Now, how much is a revius? So the Gemara over here, we just went through this in the Bavli. We went through the end of Pesachim together on Dapim Kufches and Kuftes. The Gemara in Bavli just answered the very same question of helping us trying to measure Revius. So the Gemara over here in the Yerushalmi is going to be doing the same thing. And Rabbi Avin Amar Titaron Urevia. So it's a titaron. Now, that's a utensil that was used back in the time of the Gemara. So, obviously, it would be very helpful for the people living in the time of the Gemara. Obviously, it doesn't do much in terms of helping us, but for a period of time, that was very helpful information. So, the Gemara now is going to be asking a number of questions regarding the Dal Kosos. So, here we are now. In the Yerushalmi in Shkalim, and really this is Chazar for that which we discussed back in the Bavli, and we'll note that not all the answers here in the Yerushalmi are going to be matching what we learned together in the Bavli. So first, the Gemara's question is that can we drink all four cups at the same time? The Bavli asked exactly this very same question, and the Yerushalmi's answer: Mida Ami Rabbi Mana Ami Rabbi Yosi Halal Im Shaman Bevesa Knesset Yatsa. So the Gemara over here attacks us from a really interesting perspective, which means if you hear Halal and Shul, now there is a minhag to say Halal and Shul. Nowhere in the Bavli is it recorded that you're saying Halal and Shul. The Bavli talks about saying Halal at home as part and parcel of the Seder. Saying Halal and Shul, so that's seemingly is an ancient minhag. And the Yerushalmi over here makes reference to this minhag of saying Halal and Shul. And the Mishnah, and the Braisa says that if you heard Halal and Shul, so you were Yotze, meaning as long as you had intent to be Yotze, so you're Yotze. So now, that means to say that when you go home, you don't have to say Halal at your Seder. So and that means to say, that there's not going to be any break between the third and the fourth cup, meaning you're going to go straight from cup number 3 to cup number 4, because there's no halal. So hadamra im shasa mikrachecha yasa. So it sounds like from over here that if I drink them at the same time, so you're a yotze. So the Yerushalmi's answer to, am I allowed to drink at the same time? So the Yerushalmi's answer is yes. You go back to the Bavli, remember what we discussed in the Bavli, so the Gemara in the Bavli was no. Meaning there's a mitzvah of dalakosis to have four cups. And so it seems to be that the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are not in agreement with one another. Next question of the Yerushalmi, Mal Shosan Bipsikan. So are you allowed to sip through your cups? No, you have to drink it in one gulp, two gulps, or can you just sip through them? So Klum Amru Elishta. So the Chachamim want us to drink the cup. And now skip the parentheses. Lo she yishtaker. Now that we become intoxicated, im shasa bipiskan afhu enu mishtaker. So as long as you're drinking, that's good enough. So it sounds like the Yerushalmi's answer is yeah, you can go ahead and you can sip. Again, referencing back to the Bavli, doesn't seem that that's the Bavli's answer. Bavli says that they have to be drunk. The Gemara said over there in the 10th parak of Pesachim, one gulp. So the Gemara says gagarin. That's no good. That's you're a bit of a chazer. If you do it in more than two sips. So that's the Gemara describes it as arrogant. The Gemara in Pesachim says you should do it in two sips. Okay, And it certainly seems to be that once again we have disagreement between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Gemara's question over here: can I use Shemitah wine, in other words, wine that grew during the Shemitah year? Can I use that to fulfill the mitzvah of the Dalko? So it's a difficult question, really, to explain any pair of Shvias. Not only are you allowed to eat pair of Shvias, there's a mitzvah to eat pair of Shvias. So over here, you're using a pair of Shvias with the Kedusha Shvias to fulfill the mitzvah of the Dalkosos. It could very well be that the question of the Gemara over here is maybe in a post-Bior, right? Like we discussed back in the fourth parak of Pesachim, that at a certain point during the season, so the fruit have to be destroyed or left ownerless, right? That was a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. Anyway, so it could be that the Gemara is asking over here post-Shvias. Could very well be that that's the case in any event. So Tini Rav Oshia Yosim Yain Shal Shvias. So Rav Oshia says that you could use Yain Shal Shvias. Okay. Amalav says Bekunditon. How about this wine, which we described already a couple times over here in the Yerushalmi? So it was sweet. It was spicy. So Minenar Bar Kaper Konditon Bayayin. So the Gemara says that, sorry, Konditon. Ki yayin, so konditon is going to have the same status of wine. So hada amra yosim biyan konditon. So the Gemara's answer is yes, that would be just as fine. And malav says biyan mezugin. The Gemara says, what about diluted wine? Would that be fine? So the Gemara says, yeah. Midni Rabbi Chia. So here we have a brisa. Arba kosher shamru yosim behem bein chayim bein mezugin. You could drink the wine either undiluted or diluted. Uvarachi hebo tamam arayin. It has to have the appearance and. The taste and the appearance of wine. So the answer is, yeah, diluted would be fine. I'm Rav Yirmiya Mitzvah, let's say it's behind Adom. Rav Yirmiya says that you should use red wine. Shanam Alti Ra Yanki Sadam Kiyatain, because, you know, we saw exactly this quoted in the 10th parak of Pesachim in the Bavli. Tani, the Gemara quotes the following braisa, Mavushal Kimetubal. What if it's cooked wine? So the Gemara says it's like spiced wine. Presumably the Gemara means by that, that it's fine, that's acceptable. Malat says behind Mavushal. Well, the Gemara asks exactly that question. Can I fulfill my obligation with cooked wine? So I'm Rav Yona Yosin behind Mavushal. So Rav Yona says, yeah, you could use cooked wine. So Rav Yona Litame, the Gemara points out that Rav Yona over here has been consistent in that the Rav Yona kad havishasi arba kase the pischa. Rav Yona would drink the four cups of wine at the Seder night as per the mitzvah de Rabbanan. So havichazia reshe ad chaga. So he would be having a headache for basically the next 7 weeks up until Shavuos. So you see that Rav Yona was very sensitive to a strong wine. A cooked wine served him a little bit better, cooking of the wine. So knocked down the potency of the wine. Chamisei chare machunisa apino harin. So there was a woman. Right. When we say Matronusa, we're talking about a woman of nobility. So there was a woman who saw his face. Presumably, we're talking about the face of Rabbi Yona. So Amra, so she says to him, Saba Saba Chada Mahani Tlas Milin Isbech. So it happens to have been that Rabbi Yona looked particularly good. And so her comment to him was that it's got to be you're involved in one of three things. Oh, Deshasas Chamraat, either you're drunk right now. Oh, the Mava Bir Bisad, or you're lending with interest. Oh, the Megado Chazireat, or you're raising pigs. In any one of those events, so either, in the case of inebriation, so whatever, he must have looked good, whatever that means. Or these two types of professions that she is describing over here are professions that don't require a lot of work, and so basically the person involved in these kinds of professions, so he looks leisurely. So she's basically accusing him of engaging in these kinds of activities. None of them are activities that he wants to take credit for. So Amar Lai, so he says to her, Tipach Rucha Dahu Isasa. So basically, he curses her. In other words, he's really unhappy with the accusations. So Dechada Me Elin Tlas Me Lesbi. So he says, no, I'm not holding by any of these. In other words, none of your accusations are correct. Ella Ufanash Rechli. It happens to be that I learned something new, and Hachik Siv, and we have a Pasuk. Pasuk in Kohelis, which is Chachmas Adam Tarpanav, that if you learn something new, so it's gonna give you a certain radiance, a certain countenance. And he says that that the radiance that right now that you're seeing, so it can be a factor of the it could be attached to the fact that I just learned something new. And the Gemara tells us another episode, which is really, which is awfully related, and that's Rabbi Abba, also Litzferia. Rabbi Abba goes to the town of Tveria, Chamunet Amudit, Rabbi Yochanan Apu Naharin. Students of Rabbi Yochanan see that once again he was radiating this Rabbi Abahu. So Amrin Tamin Rabbi Yochanan Ashkach Rabbi Abahu Sima, and they go to Rabbi Yochanan the Rabbi and they say, look, Rabbi Abahu, apparently he found some sort of treasure. So also Lagabes, so Rabbi Yochanan goes over to Rabbi Abahu. So Amrle Maya Raisa Charata Shamat. Rabbi Yochanan knew right away. He learned something new. So he says, so what new thing did you learn? Amrle Tusfa Atika. See, so the answer is great. He says, you know what, we know what I learned? I learned new. I learned an old Tosefta, meaning what he found is some sort of old Brisa, some sort of old manuscript that had Torah Shebaal Peh in it that apparently was not popular. People didn't know about it. Maybe it was just discovered for the first time. Whatever the case was, he found something new, right? Something old, which is something new to him. So Karola Chachmas Adam Terapanov, and Rav Yochanan says, "Good. Now we can apply the pasuk in Kohelis that when you learn something new, so you start radiating." Finishing up, we'll do one more line, two more lines. I'm a Rabbi Chanin. So Lugada Raisa. So once again, the Gemara is going to try to help us out in terms of establishing the measurement of a log. It's a volume measurement. A quarter of the log is what you need for each one of the dalakosos, as we already established. So the Gemara is going to try to help us out in terms of identifying how much a log is. So Tumnasa Atika Demiraka Tzipori. So basically, it's an old measuring cup, right? A Tumnasa. And they were measuring it for the fish brine out in Sipari. So I'm Rav Yonah v'chachman Allah. And Rav Yonah says, I remember. So the base Rabbi Yonah have a machilim beit vash. In Rabbi Yonah's house, they would basically use it in order to measure honey. So another, again, for their time helpful, for us not too particularly helpful, but another helpful aid in terms of helping remember what the... what exactly is the measurement of a log? Now, just to quickly recap, a particularly long daf. Well, these daf in Merlin and Shkalim, all of them are long. But anyway, to recap, we started at the beginning of the third parak of Shkalim, and so the first thing that we established in the first parak is the withdrawals that at the beginning of the fiscal year on the first day of Tishrei, they would do a withdrawal. Truth of the matter is, we didn't discuss. That first withdrawal seemingly was on Yantiv. Anyway, okay, didn't discuss it then. No need to discuss it in the review. But anyway, so they would do withdrawals three times a year, 15 days before Pesach, and Shavuos and Sukkot. So they would do the withdrawals those three times a year. Happens to be that they also coincide with the checkpoints for the mitzvah of Maaser Behemah. And so we saw in the Mishnah, this we're going to review very quickly, but in the Mishnah we saw three opinions in terms of when exactly are these grenos, these checkpoints for Maaser Behemah, in which at these checkpoints, so any animals that have been born over the course of the year have to be tithed by that point in the year by the checkpoint. So when exactly are these dates, are these three dates for the year? So the Mishnah brought in three different opinions amongst the Tanayim. When does the fiscal year for Maaser Behemah begin? So that we already discussed on the top of Chesam and Aleph. So that's also that comes at the three Shitas. Shita of Rabbi Meir, first day of Elul. Shita of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, first day of Tishrei. And the Shita of Ben Azai, which basically is Suffolk. And because of a Suffolk, so therefore any animals born in the month of Elul are going to be remaining independent of the year prior and any animals that are born in the month after Elul, meaning in the month of Tishrei and onward. The Gemara goes on to describe and discuss in more detail the shitas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar and the shita of Ben Azai. All that is described at the end of the Gemara's discussion, ensuing discussion, which takes us all the way to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talks about the actual withdrawal. It's done with three boxes. Each one of the boxes is going to be equivalent to three sa'ah, and that is going to be done three times a year. So you take three, multiply by three, multiply by three. 3 to the 3rd, and it's going to get us to a total of 27 sa'ah, as the Gemara itself goes on to explain. When you do the withdrawal each time, so the boxes are going to be labeled Aleph, Beis, Gimel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Alpha, Beta, Gamma. When you go in to do the withdrawal, so the CFO, when he goes in to do with the withdrawal, so he's not going to look as if he is skimming off the top. He's going to be very careful to not only obviously not skim off the top, but not even give the appearance that he's skimming off the top. Basically, the idea of Maaser Behemah right here in this first Mishnah of the second Mishnah of the third parak of Shkalim. The Gemara after the Mishnah went on to discuss a number of topics. hard to connect them together. But number one, the Mishnah in Shabbos regarding a kupa, how much is a kupa? We used our Mishnah to teach us how much a kupa is. Number two, Mezigas Kos, when we talk about carrying on Shabbos, so how much wine do you have to carry in order to be chayiv? So the amount that would dilute to make a full revius. So how much that is, it's going to be a quarter of a revius, as the Gemara went on to discuss. Numerous questions regarding the Dalag Kosos, which the Gemara here interestingly discusses here on Daf Chesen Amud Beis in Shkalim. Are you allowed to drink the Dalag Kosos in one shot? The Yerushalmi's answer is presumably yes. Are you allowed to sip through the Dalag Kosos? The Yerushalmi's answer is yes. Again, these last two answers of the Yerushalmi do not seem to coincide with the Bavli's answers. Are you allowed to use Shemitah wine to use for the Dalag Kosos? The Gemara's answer is yes. Are you allowed to use Kondi Ton, some sort of sweet, spicy wine? The Gemara's answer here is yes. Are you allowed to use diluted wine? The Gemara's answer is yes. Are you allowed to use cooked wine? So Rabbi Yonah's answer to that is yes. And then the Gemara ended off the daf today with a couple of stories regarding various Amoraim who had a particularly good countenance, and they're back and forth with people who observe their very special countenance.